Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it the Trump Trials and Errors. It's been something to watch, man. Not sure there's ever been a misdemeanor trial at this level. I just can't imagine the amount of resources thrown into trying to prove misdemeanors to get to some other form of a constructed version of a felony at the federal level when you're coming out of state. Go figure. I can't make sense of it. I'm an attorney and I can't make sense of it. So I'm bringing on somebody else who might be able to make sense of it. Jay Towne is a former prosecutor in Madison County. He's also been the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed during the Trump administration. He's also, by the way, served for 12 years and retired at the rank of major as a judge advocate general in the U.S. Marine Corps. So let's bring him on. Jay Towne, how you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on. Busy day. You know, I kind of woke up with some anxiety today, and I'm not even in court, nor am I a defendant. So, I mean, it's just a bad day that America is going through this right now, and what's going on in Manhattan is an absolute legal travesty.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know if you saw, and we'll get into the machinations of the trial itself here, but I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was a complete dog and pony show right across from the courthouse when Robert De Niro held a DNC press conference, which I think was just designed to taint the jury as best he could. But it was an awful thing, and I've never seen anything like it today.
You know, what's amazing to me, and I've always said this, it didn't matter if they were coming out in favor of my guy or gal or whoever it was, but why does anyone care what a Hollywood actor thinks about politics?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible to me that a bunch of people who have no original thought whatsoever when it comes to their chosen profession, they read other people's work at other people's direction and production and editing, right? They edit out all of their mistakes. So that they can make a movie and make money. And it's great. I love watching movies, right? I could watch Deadpool and Deadpool 2 over and over and over again, right? And just love it each time. But I don't care what Ryan Reynolds thinks about who should be president of the United States.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, it works against him when he comes out and runs his mouth. Now, Ryan Reynolds didn't do that, but I'm not going to be watching, Goodfellas anytime soon because I'm sick of Bob De Niro.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, the fact that they would even trot him out there, because he's the quintessential New Yorker and blah, blah, but whatever. The guy pretended to be a mobbed up guy. He runs restaurants in Tribeca. I mean, you know, how tough do you got to be, right? I mean, good for you.
You know anyway, what? And in my opinion, and I don't want to belabor the De Niro thing too much, but my opinion is, looking at the way that went down, that De Niro insisted that he needed to get out there and say something. That's the sense that I got, that he had this overinflated view of his own opinions, which meant absolutely bupkis to the crowd. They were shouting him down. But
and you know, and here's the thing, and you just made the point, Phil. You know who he lost his remarks to, his conversation, his messaging to, Mr. Quintessential New York? You know who he lost to? New Yorkers.
That's right.
Right? Not guys that have a building and a doorman, you know, in a penthouse suite down in Soho or Tribeca or wherever the hell he lives now, right, for 3 months out of the year, because I'm sure he gets a little, that thin blood of his gets a little chilly in the winter, right? But New Yorkers shouted him down. Real New Yorkers. Guys that are, you know, they work with their hands, right? At the end of the month, they got $400 in their account and they're proud of themselves because they do, right? That's real New Yorkers. And they shouted him down.
Yep.
And I'm glad they did.
Yeah. It was actually wound up being good times to watch it. But let me ask you this, Jay. All right. In your experience, what we're looking at right now is the closing moments of what I think may be the largest, most, you know, labor intensive, resource intensive misdemeanor trial in the history of the United States jurisprudence system. But that being said, we're at closing arguments. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a question. Not much of one, but a question whether the judge would go to, I guess it's still called a directed verdict. I mean, is that a possibility in your opinion? Do you see it going to the jury? I anticipate that it will, but what do you think?
Well, if this was a real judge, he would have dismissed this case long ago. If this was a real judge, he would have not let in all of the hearsay and inadmissible prejudicial 403 evidence that he let in. If this was a real judge, he would have moved for a directed verdict when the motion came after the state's case, if this was a real judge.
There you go. If it was a real judge. So what you're saying is you think it's going to a jury. So, all right, it goes to a jury as early as tomorrow. But, all right, so here's my next question for you. We're hearing, and I don't know how long it's going to last, prosecution's coming back from a break to continue their pretty extensive
Three
closing
more
arguments.
Hours, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, like 4.5 to 5 hours for closing arguments. I mean, I've heard some long closing arguments. I've heard some good closing arguments. I've never heard a lot of long, good closing arguments. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know that they exist. I had a, you know, there was a police officer, a Huntsville police officer named Daniel Gold, who was shot and killed in the line of duty in 2005 by a man named Benito Alboron, thrice removed illegal immigrant that was here in Huntsville, killed Daniel at point blank range. And at the time, I haven't kept up since, but it was the longest jury trial in the history of the state of Alabama.
Wow.
It was for a criminal case, right? So it was about 6 weeks long. Voir dire went from, 9 o'clock in the morning till sometimes midnight. And we got a jury sat. We had 300 people in the Vanira, the jury pool. And we got, I think it ended up being 16 or 17 people sat so that we could start openings on that following Monday. But we worked our tails off. And so did Judge Karen Hall. And I was with Rob Broussard, our current district attorney now. He's the deputy DA at the time. Say all that to say this. 5 weeks of packed every day, sometimes ending at 7 at night, evidence. 5 weeks. My closing argument was an hour and a half long.
There you go.
Now, Judge Mershon has packed 2 weeks of evidence into 6 weeks of trial, right?
Yeah.
And he's letting the prosecutors go on for 5 hours. Now, that's to Trump's advantage because they stopped listening 20 minutes ago. And frankly, Todd Blanche could have cut a half an hour off of his. But now you're going to follow up a 2.5 hour closing with 5 hours, right? And you're proving two misdemeanors? That's really what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I could prove the case to a jury in a shorter amount of time than it takes them to just close this case, right? So it is amazing to me how bad this prosecution has been, from the fact that they even presented it to a grand jury all the way up into this moment right now. And Steinglass is an experienced guy. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't have any chops, but and we were talking about this before we went on. He just doesn't have a lot of material, unlike Alvin Bragg's suits, right?
Right. Let me ask you. You're sitting there, you're watching all this. It's going to the jury. They're not going to. No one's going to take a plea on this one. There's no way in the world because the stakes are too high. So it's going to the jury, and now we're looking at acquittal, partial acquittal, conviction, or even a hung jury. What do you think? We got two lawyers on the jury.
We do. And remember, lawyers are always the smartest lawyers in the room, and those two are not going to be any different. And I just feel like they've been given license to say the state has not met its burden.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a hard time going back to their partners, neither one of these two are criminal lawyers, going back to their partners and saying, yes, I believed every word that Michael Cohen said. And I believe they proved their case beyond a reasonable doubt. No serious criminal justice expert, has come out and said this is a lockdown case, slam dunks. I think the best the state can hope for at this point is a hung jury. If they come back quickly, and it'll be an acquittal. If it's Friday afternoon and they still don't have a verdict, it's going to be a hung jury.
So you get a hung jury on this one. Do you try it again, or do you say we tried our best shot?
If they can't try it in October, they probably don't try it again because it doesn't have the impact that Alvin Bragg wants to have.
There you go. Well, yep. Lawfare is what it is, right? All's fair in love and war,
apparently.
And lawfare, apparently. But Well, and I guess the last closing statement, this is more political, is apparently the President of the United States is going to make a comment from the White House about whatever the outcome of the trial is. Some say it's because he wants to reassure people that he's accepted whatever the verdict is and we all need to move forward regardless of how you feel. I get that. Somehow I don't think that's what it's going to be. I think it's going to be he's hoping for a victory lap or he's going to call the system of justice broken. What do you think?
I mean, it's a little weird to call your shot here, right? You know, like, you know, I mean, this is not a press conference thing. He could be asked it, you know, but to kind of call your shot ahead of time. But again, you know, look, this is Biden. He might say he's going to do that, hoping that, you know, it takes guts to do that. You have my word as a Biden. And then they just don't do it. Right. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't believe a word that is coming out of that administration's mouth, certainly not from the press secretary.
Then again, he might get lost on the way to the microphone and we'll never hear it. So who knows?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right.
So,
well,
thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, brother. We appreciate you. Your insights are always classic. And Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, we'll have you on again soon. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Semper Fi. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now, but that was good commentary. And that's a guy who, by the way, has been in the trenches. He knows what it means to be a federal prosecutor. He knows what it means to be a state prosecutor. And we're looking at a case right now where somebody's trying to be both at one time. So, daggum. We'll talk about it more as the situation develops. And if there's any breaking news today, we'll let you know. But for right now, let's take a break. And we'll be right back.